We're looking for benefit improvements and sustaining some of the benefits that we've worked very hard to achieve. At the same time, the TTC is a philosophy is always trying to have us pay for our own improvements by trying to take it away from one area in order to gain it from somewhere else. We work hard. We know the value for our work. And unfortunately, the TTC is not treating us though we have that same value.
All right. So that is the voice of Marvin Alfred of Local 113, Union 113, and we're learning this morning, and you're going to hear a lot more about this certainly throughout the day in the news, is that the union that represents thousands of TTC workers now voting in favor overwhelmingly of a strike vote. This is not to be confused with the electrical and trade unions, which just settled with the TTC last week. We're talking about the 12,000, you know, drivers and ticket collectors and other employees who want more money. And if you think back, because it's been a long, long time since we've had to talk about labor issues when it comes to our transit, because in 2011, it was deemed an essential service by the province. And so they weren't allowed to strike. And then in 2023, a court comes along and says, well, sure you can. You've got a right to strike. And so here we are. They're flexing their right to possibly walk out. And again, we're still talking a little bit of time, but to think of just how much it would impact the city if they do walk, I mean, it could really paralyze Toronto. So how far apart are we? Where is this going? Let us ask someone who's probably watching very closely. Stuart Green is TTC Media Relations. Thanks for joining us, Stuart. Appreciate it.
Hi, Alex. Good morning.
All right. So, I mean, I think a lot of people probably assume that because we got the electrical workers and trade workers, you know, signed last week, that maybe we were done with this kind of stuff. But this one, I think, jumped out at everybody a little bit by surprise. So where are we with talks? Are they still at the table, both sides?
Yeah, I mean, it's very early days on the talks. And the good news, of course, is that we are at the table still. You know, the talks have been progressing. These things can take time. You know, the contract expired at the end of March. So in the grand scheme of labor negotiations, this is actually quite quick progress. You know, these things can tend to go on for some length of time, unfortunately. But our hope is that we can get something sorted out very, very soon with our largest union.
Right. So you're saying March of this year, right? Like I'm going to ask this, not March
of
last year, right? Because
they can sometimes
go a year, and it's like, what took so long to negotiate? So here we are in March. You know, I don't know what the number is that they're asking. As I understand it, the workers want 8% each year. Is that close? Is that what they're asking?
I don't have any details on what the numbers are at the table. And frankly, I would leave that at the table, but I don't have that information.
Do you have any idea how close or how far apart they are and what are some of the sticking issues?
I do not.
And so what are we looking at? I mean, for the everyday person who's just going to work and doesn't really have time to deal with this stuff, what are we talking about as far as the time and the clock and how this goes after the formalities?
So, I mean, there are a couple of things that happen in this process. You know, one is that, you know, the union files for what's called a no board. We know that over the weekend, just this past weekend, a provincial conciliator was appointed, which is good. That means that there's someone sort of mediating these talks, and that's always a good place to be. Again, you know, staying at the table. But we do know that, you know, from past experience, that if this particular union goes on strike, it would mean, you know, some or very significant delays in our service, or, you know, in the past we've seen complete shutdowns in service. So we really need people to understand that, you know, our first and foremost objective here is to reach an agreement that avoids any kind of job action. But we do know from past experience that if this union goes out, there will be impacts on our service.
Is there a backup plan? And is that backup plan being written now?
Well, unfortunately, when all of your operators go on strike, there really isn't a contingency in place. So we know that what's happened in the past is that it's been a complete system shutdown. We don't know that that would be the case at this point. Of course, you know, we hope that's not the case at all. We hope there's zero impact. Mm. You know, we were able to sign an agreement last weekend with QP Local 2. You mentioned they were the electrical workers. That was about 700 people. We've got deals that we've reached this year with QP 5089, which is special constables, as well as with a smaller union of millwrights and machinists, IAMAW, Lodge 235. So we've reached a number of agreements this year, and we're optimistic we can reach one with this one. But this is our largest union. I mean, this is almost 12,000 people of our 17,000 employees in total.
Yeah, but, you know, this leaves a lot of people in the dark. It's like we don't know what we don't know, right? And I know you don't know what you don't know, but for the everyday person who kind of is very reliant on this, it's just a, like, when will we know something, right?
Yeah,
like,
no, it's a fair question. I mean, you know, we know that there are, you know, we move millions of people every day. We know that there are people who rely on the TTC to do not just get to work or to, you know, a baseball game, but for, you know, essential things like grocery shopping or medical appointments. We understand all of that. You know, again, looking at past experience, and because, you know, as you mentioned in the leadoff, you know, this is the first time since 2011 any TTC unions have had the right to strike. So, you know, we haven't really been in this situation since, you know, 2010 or 11. In 2008, we did have a strike, and it was everything shut down. Now, what we also know from past experience, the good news is that both sides, in the event that that were to happen, and again, that's not what we want, but in the event that were to happen, we would get some notice. We would be able to let people know. We would put out the alerts ahead of time, advising people what the impacts may be, if they're known. You know, but again, you know, that's I think, you know, it's safe to say at this point, we're, you know, because we're still at the table, we're not quite there yet, and we just need to stay at the table and get something sorted out.
All right, just so I for clarity, then, when's the next time that we would expect? Is it either when someone walks away from the table, but is there a deadline that they've given at all?
No, there are no deadlines. As I say, both sides are at the table, and as long as both sides are at the table, they continue talking through a provincial conciliator, and that's the best place that you want to be in a labor negotiation.
At the table, I guess, yes, and we'll see what happens. All right, well, you're going to be very busy, no question about it, with lots of questions being asked, and we'll follow along. Stuart, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Alex. Cheers.
Cheers to you. That's Stuart Green of the TTC, and so there's only so much we're going to find out, and the one thing I don't like about labor unrest, and we certainly have enough of it these days, is that, you know, we get caught in these back and forth, like a ping pong game, and you're just kind of like looking back and forth, or tennis, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, the media ends up becoming like the middle person in these fights, where they fight it out in the public and they get all their talking points out, and we still have no more clarity as to, like, when are we going to know?
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.